Turn back to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Title this message, The Temptation of Christ in the Wilderness. We read in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 4:15. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In Hebrews 2:18, we read this, For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, tried, he is able to succor or help them that are tempted. You and I go through troubles. We experience different things. There are things that I may experience that you may not experience. Things you have experienced that I may not experience. And it's hard to really identify with someone, to truly identify until you have gone through what they've gone through. Our Lord can identify with every one of His children, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the trouble, He can identify. He was tempted in all points, as we are. Our Lord met every enemy we have and conquered them. He conquered them. Satan, who is an evil spirit, has been conquered by our Lord. He's nothing more than a pit bull on a chain. Really. It's all he is. It's all he can only do what our Lord will allow him to do. Now here in Matthew 4 is one of our Lord's many victories over Satan. In fact, every time our Lord saves a sinner, every time He saves a sinner, it's another demonstration of His power, of His authority, and of His victory over Satan. How many times when you go through reading the Gospels did our Lord command a demon or evil spirit to come out of a person? Not one time do we read where that evil spirit or demon says, No, I'm not going to. They do it every time. In fact, they said, We know who you are. You are the Holy One of Israel. You know, the Jews said, We know who you are. You are the carpenter's son. But the devil said, No, we know who you are. You're God. You're the Holy One of Israel. Now this knowledge of His power and authority over all principalities and powers should give all God's children great comfort as they pass through this world, this shadow of death, is what it's called in Psalm 23. Now I know that people, for the most part, they believe that Satan does his greatest evil on the streets, in the brothels, in the drug world. But the greatest evil Satan does is in the pulpit. It's in the pulpit. The brothels, the drug, the streets, that's just people being people. That's just people being people. We don't need the devil to be devils. We've got that nature in us. If God annihilated all the fallen angels, if He annihilated all the demons and the devil, just annihilated them, we'd still be a bunch of devils. By nature now, we would be. That's the truth. If He turned us loose, that's exactly what would happen. Satan's greatest work comes from the pulpit. It comes out of false religion, confusion. You know, his greatest tactic is confusion. Get confusion in the battle. That's his greatest tactic. But especially, now listen, especially when the message is so close that even the elect of God would be deceived. Listen to 2 Corinthians 11. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, don't marvel at this. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, self-righteousness, morality. Don't be surprised about that. People think of Satan, they always think of something real devious and sinister and, oh, he's got them in the pulpit. It's ministers of righteousness, self-righteousness, morality. You can be as moral as you want to be. If you miss Christ, you're going to perish. Because no one's that moral inwardly. Outwardly, you know, those Pharisees, they thought they were the most moral people in town. Outwardly, they were. Inwardly, Christ said, you're a bunch of adulterers. God knows your heart. He said, I know what you're thinking. I know what's going on in there. God knows what's going on in the heart. And when false religion makes a convert, our Lord said this in Matthew 23. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, you posers. For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold the child of hell than yourselves. You've given him a false hope. You've given him a false refuge. And the hardest thing to get any man out of, any person out of, is a false hope and a false refuge. They hang on that all the way to the end. And he said, that's what you do. He said, you compass sea and land. You put a lot of effort into this. And all you did was make that person twofold a child of hell. Now let's look at the time of his temptation here. It was right after his baptism. It was right after his baptism. You see, Satan's not really interested in the unregenerate. He already has them. It's God's son he wants to destroy, and it's God's people he wants to destroy. That's what he wants to destroy. He's not concerned about the unregenerate out there. If he can get him, he can get all of them. If he can get one of his children, he can destroy his glory. Just one sheep. He can destroy the whole glory of God in redemption. But notice something else interesting in this verse. It says, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, led Christ into the wilderness to be tempted. The Spirit of God led him into the wilderness to try him. To try him. To test him. To prove him. What happened when the... Before they offered the Passover lamb, you know what they would do to that lamb? They would put it up and observe it and make sure there was no blemish in that lamb. And they would observe it for some days to make sure there's no blemish in it. We are going to see here in this temptation, there's no blemish in God's lamb. There's no blemish. This was by design. It was purposed of God for Christ to be tried in every way as we are. There's not, as I've already said, there's not a way you and I will be tried or tempted that Christ was not tried or tempted. Martin Luther said this, there are three things that make a preacher, meditation, prayer, and temptation. And our Lord is the greatest preacher that ever walked on this earth. He is truly the Prince of Preachers. Now, our Lord's temptation was very real. He felt the full force of Satan's onslaught. He took the full blow of it. You know, when you and I are tempted, it can only go to a certain point before God removes it. He only allows it to go so far. Our Lord got the full force of it. There was no blunting of the temptation. And don't think because He's God that the temptation was not difficult or that He did not feel it. He couldn't identify with me if He couldn't feel it. But I want you to notice this. What condescension that the Son of God, that God would allow Himself to be tried or tempted by Satan. That is just astounding to me. That's astounding. Again here, the time of His temptation. After He had fasted. After He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, it says, after that He was hungry. This shows His humanity. He was truly a man like us in every way except for sin. Satan came at Him at His weakest point, so He thought. At His weakest point. Remember how Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup? Adam, what did he do? He ate of the tree of knowledge, the forbidden fruit. He ate of it. And Satan comes at him the same way. He waits until he's hungry. After 40 days and 40 nights, this man has not eaten. And he feels it. He feels it. The first temptation is self-preservation. Satisfy this flesh. Lust of the flesh. Satisfy your hunger. Is there anything wrong with eating if you're hungry? Listen to this. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Christ had not eaten for 40 days and nights. He's hungry. And Satan shoots at the chink in the armor. But there's no chink in his armor. There's no chink in his armor. No doubt Satan believes he can bring him down just like he did the first Adam. Let me add him. I can bring him down. Satan made it sound so innocent. You're hungry. You are the Son of God. If you're the Son of God, puts a question mark on it. You know, if I challenged you, if I said, you really think you're strong, pick that up. Let me see you pick that up. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to go pick it up. Because we got to prove it. We got to prove we're strong. We got to prove we're intelligent. We got to prove these things. He says here, if you're the Son of God, if that's so, turn these stones into bread and eat. Feed yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. But notice how the Lord answered him. But he answered in verse 4, he answered and said, it is written. Every time he answered him with the word of God. How important is that? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I'm not living right now because I had a good breakfast or because I've maintained a good diet. I'm living because God said live. Now when He says die, I'm going to die. But we live, he says, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But our Lord here answered him with God's word. Our best defense is the word of God. Not human logic. You know what human logic would do? It would eat. Human logic would say there's nothing wrong with eating. Eve looked at the tree and she saw that it was good for food. There's nothing wrong with it. So she took it. Human logic would say eat instead of wait on the Lord to provide. Wait on the Lord to provide. Our Lord said, man shall not live by bread alone. That's not my life. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? The Lord said, is not life more than this? But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, every word of God are His decrees and purpose. That's what we live by. We live by the decree of God, the will of God, the purpose of God. And when God has fulfilled that in each one of us, He'll take us home. I want you to listen to Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. Did they? No. They didn't keep one. He proved them and they failed. And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only. He doesn't live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And that is capital L-O-R-D. The self-existing one. The one who exists by himself. Jehovah. Jehovah doth man live. And our Lord quoted that scripture. He said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's amazing. When you look over all of humanity, there's no desire to know God who commands our life. There's no seeking Him. You know what He said in Genesis when He looked down from heaven to see if any sought Him? And there was none. There was none. Out of all His creation, He said, there was none. But our Lord always answered Satan, thus it is written. Christ's words and actions were always according to God's word. Always. Here's a lesson. Never do wrong in order to satisfy your hunger, whatever that hunger may be. Spurgeon said one time, he said, don't make a dog out of yourself trying to get a bone. Our Lord would not make that stone bread. You know why He didn't make the stone into bread? Can you make it into bread? So He's not going to either. He's not going to take care of Himself in areas where I can't take care of myself. Our substitute has to suffer everything we suffer. I can't make it bread, and He's going. When you go through the Gospels, not one time, notice this, when you read through the Gospels, not one time does our Lord ever do anything to relieve His sufferings, His hunger, His thirst. Not one time. Not one time. Because I can't. I can't. Now the second temptation. Cast thyself down. Since the first temptation failed, you see, Satan only tempted Adam one time, and it was over with. But the first temptation failed. Now let's go to the second one. Cast thyself, prove God is your Father. Instead of believing God, prove God. If you are the Son of God, He's given His angels charge over thee, is what He's saying. He's given His angels charge over thee, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You know, he only quoted half that verse. If you'll go over to Psalm, go over to Psalm 91. I believe that's the one it's in. We're here in Psalm 91. Look in verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee. Satan knows the word of God. He knows the word. But he never quotes it properly, does he? He puts a twist on it. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. He left that out. To keep thee in all thy ways. It would not be the way of Christ to tempt God to prove himself. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Prove your God. Take care. Take care of God will take care of you if you're his son. He'll catch you. Prove you're a son of God. Go stand out there in the road and see what happens. I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get ran over. You're going to tempt God to prove that you're a son of God or a child of God by standing in the road. Well, you're going to get run slap dead over. That's what's going to happen. If our Lord had succumbed to this temptation and cast himself down to prove he's a son of God, he would have body slammed the ground. God is not to be tempted. Satan knows what the word of God said. He twists it. And again, our Lord quotes scriptures. His weapon of choice was always the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And that sword cuts going and coming. He quotes Deuteronomy 6:16. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. That's what he quotes, that you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Faith doesn't go around trying to prove God. Faith believes God. Faith doesn't go around trying to prove God to be God. God doesn't try to prove God is God. And the Lord Jesus Christ didn't go around trying to prove God to be God. Then we come to the third temptation. Never underestimate the power of Satan if God turns him loose. Now he shows our Lord the kingdoms of this world. He doesn't show him the kingdom of God, nor does he show him the kingdom of grace, nor the kingdom of righteousness. He shows him the kingdom of this world. That's what he shows him. If a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what does he have? What does he have? If you gain the whole world, if you become one of the richest people in this area, what do you have? When you die, I guarantee you, a U-Haul's not going to follow you to the grave. A hearse and family. But what you have is not going to follow you. It's going to follow somebody else. And Solomon said, he got so depressed about this after he sat down and thought about it, and he looked at all that he had done and all that he had accumulated. He said, a fool may inherit this next. Sooner or later, he will. I promise you, sooner or later, a fool will inherit it. All Satan wants is for Christ to worship him. That's all. Just worship. Just fall down and worship me. Men crave worship. Satan craves it. Men crave it. Look at these movie stars. Look at these athletes. Seriously. They crave that applause. They crave that form of worship. They crave it. That's why they stay in the game so long. They stay in the game too long because they can't let that glory go. He says, fall down and worship me, and I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. He's a liar. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and they who dwell therein. Anytime, I can tell you this, anytime Satan opens his mouth, he's lying. You can mark it down, he's lying. Truth has never came out of his mouth. It's a lie. He said, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. That's a lie. They all belong to God. God never turned them over to him. I know he's called the prince of the power of the air, but it's God's heir. And the power he has is of God. It's what God allows him to have. He's just lying there. But our Lord said, only God's to be worshipped. Only God. In Matthew 4:10, here it says, then said Jesus unto him, and he's going to put it, listen, when he said, notice this, when Satan said, if you'll just fall down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. That's when the Lord put a stop to it. That's when he put a stop to it. When he called on the Lord to worship, just worship me. He said, all right, that's enough. Enough's enough. Listen, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. Get out of here. That's enough. Done. This is done. This is over. This is over. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Nothing is to rival our love and devotion to our God, and we should be offended when it does. We should. We should. And Satan leaves. He leaves him for a while. Why? Because the Lord said to. Who's controlling this situation? Our Lord. And you and I are given this morning the opportunity to look into this temptation and see the power and glory of our Redeemer. Satan leaves him for a while. He'll be back. In John 14:30, this is written. Our Lord said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Listen, there was nothing in the Lord Jesus Christ that he could sink his teeth into. There was nothing he could get a hold of. He got a hold of it in Adam. He gets a hold of it in us. There's a lot in me and you that he can get a hold of. He can dangle a little change and we get weak in the knees. But there was nothing. Christ said, the prince of this world coming hath nothing in me. Finds nothing in me. Can't get his teeth into anything. There was nothing in Christ for Satan to get a hold of. We have a mighty Savior. We have a mighty Redeemer, a mighty God. We have one who was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin, and he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And he has promised he'll not let us be tempted above what we are able to bear. He's able to control the whole situation from start to finish. Start to finish. All right.